This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com. We were sitting there about this investment opportunity that I could either say yes or no to. Now, part of that preparation would be me having learned things in advance, but also knowing if this is an opportunity for me. Is this in alignment with what I see for my next 5 years?
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to the Color of Money podcast. I'm Emmerich Peace with my other co-hosts, Julia Lachey and Daniel Dixon. Hey, today we're going to have a deep conversation. It's about opportunity and preparing for an opportunity. One of the biggest things that we have to understand about an opportunity, it's only an opportunity if you're prepared. If you're not prepared, you're just having a conversation. How do you evaluate an opportunity? What does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. Good to see you, Unc. Good to see
you,
Julia.
Sir.
Well, I think when you consider like when you have an opportunity that comes up, whether it's buying a market center or adding a member to your team or this new investment property or whatever it is, I've learned through making bad decisions that I didn't have enough principles around the decision making. And so for me, it's kind of charting this and going through the process, similar to like our career visioning process before you hire people. Do you have a platform and do you have a step-by-step plan that you do to be able to help you see your blind spots? Oftentimes we want to take an opportunity and we want to go in because we're excited and we're not looking at what else is out there, what other roadblocks or red flags are existing before we make the financial decision. Or I would argue what's even a worse decision is a time suck.
Oh,
not having your time back.
So really we're talking about putting up bumpers and guardrails that keep us from our own demise of the things that we think they look good. We think they're sexy. And when we take a look at it from a logical perspective, it's only good and sexy to us. It does not help our bottom line the best way.
And or when I'm thinking preparing for opportunity and even the keys that you just mentioned, Daniel, I'm thinking, what do I need to be doing for myself or with myself to be ready when an opportunity presents itself? So I'm not even necessarily judging an opportunity or using criteria to decide if this said opportunity is right for me. I'm thinking in the mindset of how do I get prepared when something presents itself for me? I'm ready already.
So when you think about making yourself prepared for an opportunity, there's kind of a checklist that we go through to being able to evaluate these things. So when we think about the upside, 3 years from now, like what's possible and what is enough for you to actually be okay with? In 3 years from now, if that investment's going to be yielding you, maybe it's $40,000 a year and that's not enough, then maybe we don't make that decision to go into that business line or take on that investment property or so on. The second piece is what dangers or challenges am I missing? What are the blind spots? So the first one, what's the biggest upside? Second one, what are the dangers or blind spots? The third step is, do I have the right jockey in place to run the business or am I the jockey? And so if I'm taking on another job, do I have the capacity to take on another job? How many employees will be in the business? How many people are reporting to me? So what I'm looking at with that is, how noisy is this? How much chaos? People equal chaos. So how many people are in this business and does it make sense to step into that? And then the last one, which I think is the most important, is on a scale from 1 to 5, how passionate am I about this business? Because if this is a 5, then you can make concessions in some of these other rules. Maybe you will be the jockey, but you really love everything. Maybe you're going to make less money, but you really enjoy doing this. And so having those steps and going through that process, when you look at an opportunity, a business, an investment property or so on, then I think it will help you kind of keep those bumpers up to identify and just ask yourself some questions that are outside of how much money can I make or am I qualified to do this, to really evaluate.
What I heard you say in one sentence was, how much will this cost me? And I'm not even talking money. I'm talking my peace, my time, my energy, how much does this cost? And not the money, all the other things.
I guess if all of those things align up, then you can have a money conversation. Because if those things don't align up, I guess it doesn't matter what the money is because it doesn't support your life.
I have a different set of steps of preparing for an opportunity based on my understanding of what we're talking about in preparing for an opportunity. And I would say that the first step is that you even need to figure out what you want, right? Like in general, all kinds of opportunities could come to you or present themselves to you or people or relationships or whatever this opportunity we're talking about may be. But do you even know what your end goal is, right? Figuring out what you want and how it comes in alignment with what you desire. There's a saying that's like, he who has no direction has no certain destination, right? So like, I don't know if this is an opportunity for me or not, if I don't know ultimately what's my long-term plan, what's my 5-year, what's my 3-year. I first have to figure out what it is that I even want in life or in a business or financially before I can even use that checklist to determine whether or not it's an opportunity. I first need to know what it is I want.
Well, and I think we change, and what we want today is different than what we want in a year from now.
Definitely.
Who we are today or what we think we want today is different than what it was a year ago.
So then that's my second step then, Daniel, would be preparing for any said opportunity. Like here's an example. Many, many years ago, I went and got my broker license. I honestly had zero idea why I was getting my broker license. It's just that I had met the criteria for what you have to do to get a broker license. Mm-hmm. And so I got one because I figured if there came an opportunity or a reason I would need one, I'd already have it. Right. It's the same reason I think like people go to school. You go to school and get a degree just because if an opportunity comes up, you'll have the degree. So I went and got the broker license just because I wanted to be ready in case something happened. And it did. When the market crashed,
I feel like that's what real estate agents do.
Just get a license just because, right? I did. Well, in my scenario, I did. But when the market crashed and I had lost a bunch of properties and all my tenants went to jail, and that's a whole nother podcast episode, there was a job description out. There was a brokerage that was looking for a broker. Like, and I wanted to get a paycheck at that time. I was like, I need a check. And I qualified because I was ready already. So there's some scenarios where I think preparing for an opportunity means, which is to me also in alignment with what we all believe as being a lifelong learner anyways, right? So I was learning all the things I needed to know to be master of my craft anyways. An opportunity presented itself and I was ready already because I had prepared for whatever might come next.
I got to get past the entry level to be able to be, to take advantage of this kind of opportunity. Because you wouldn't be able to do it if you looked at that job post.
Exactly.
And you had to
I was already ready. Yeah. But then also I think for opportunities, and y'all can correct me, is positioning yourself. You know something about this, Daniel. You're the one that always talks about being in the room, right?
It's almost like what Unc says. Your relationships will take you to places money can't. Being in the room and hearing, I think when you're evaluating like this, Julia, is almost going through, it's almost like a mock draft, like going through the process and seeing what it feels like to do the job before you have the opportunity to actually do the job.
I.e., my role as an OP. That's not my job at KWRI. My job is the head of inclusion and belonging. But I went to every single OP meeting for 3 years. I was never an OP meeting I didn't go to. I went to every RD meeting. I went to every ROP. I know how to ROP. I know how to OP. I know how to RD. I know how to TL. I know how to MCA. I know, but it was because I was in the room and I had positioned myself to learn things that I didn't need to know right now. But when an opportunity presented itself, I was ready already.
Yeah. You're in the rooms. You're getting the knowledge and the experience. Your rubber band's expanding.
I'm intentional about going to things that, it's like if you want to be a dancer. If you want to be a dancer, you're probably going to go to shows. You're probably going to be at places where people dance. You're going to go to dance events. You're going to surround yourself with the appropriate network to do what it is you want to do.
And that's the whole idea. When you're intentional about pursuing opportunities, the universe and God will conspire to help you get there.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to be willing to spend money too, right? Yeah. Like I remember going, it was like, I think my second year in the business, and Brett was doing a shadow day. It was like $2,500 to shadow him for a day, $2,500 to shadow him for a day and get his entire playbook on everything that they do.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. 100%. But it was game changing for my life because I didn't have that mentor in my life yet to be able to see, oh, this is what it looks like. Oh, this is the investment business. Like, you got to touch it and feel it and be in those rooms and at those tables. And I wasn't participating in a lot of the conversation. I wasn't leading the room or anything like that. I was young. My mouth was shut and I had my notebook out and I was just going. But then when you go back home and you see tangibly what happened, And then you're like, okay, let me just go emulate what I just saw. Let's do it this way. And then you kind of continue to grow on those, but you got to be willing to spend the time, the money, the effort. Some of them are closed door rooms you can't get into yet until you get into that relationship. And the way that masterminds are nowadays, you can pay to get in almost anything and start getting that knowledge and getting that knowledge and
resources. Well, to your point, yes, you may have to pay money, but back to the whole being in the space, I wasn't invited to any of those things. Nobody invited me to those meetings. Nobody invited me to, I helped myself. If the door wasn't locked,
But not everyone is like you, Julia, that can just say, oh, you're going where? Cool. I'm coming.
Here's a question. Did anybody kick you out of those rooms?
On a couple of occasions, yes. Yeah. Sometimes.
And my point is, I've been kicked out of bed. That's fine.
Yeah.
And my point is, when you're in that space where you're learning based and you want to be in that environment, right? You just have to look like you belong in this space sometimes. So it's about preparing yourself and look like you belong in this space.
Again, I'm just using that as an example. It doesn't have to be that. Yeah.
No, that's a great example.
There's some people who I know are waiting. They're sitting around waiting on somebody to give them something. And my point is, nobody is ever going to give me anything. I have to go get it. A lot of times people say, I didn't know this was happening, or there's a mastermind. Nobody told me. Nobody invited me. My ex-husband used to have that bad. Mm-hmm. Nobody invited me. Like, you a whole grown man. Like, nobody needs to invite you to some of this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Show up to some of these things. It's open to the public. These things are open to the public.
When I was doing mortgages in my first job, I remember the CEO of the company, or the vice president, or whatever he was, I remember him telling me, he goes, unless you are beating down my door to get information from me, you don't care enough. And it's that same concept. Yeah. Unless you're kicking the door down to get in and bugging and constantly trying to get in, like, you're not that hungry. Don't wait for your invite to come in the mail. Go show up.
Many opportunities go unfulfilled because there are not enough people looking for that opportunity, or there are not enough people willing to pursue the information to find out how to take advantage of the opportunity.
Well, and also sometimes people don't actually express that they want an opportunity, or that they're actually looking for opportunities. Again, they're just sitting around waiting on somebody to just drop something in their lap and give them some sort of handout.
Closed mouth, right? Don't get fed.
Well, you said something, Julia. You got to know what you want. And I think that's a really difficult thing for people to understand. I still kind of don't know what I want, to be honest with you. But I think internships are one of the most underrated things that young kids that are in college should be doing. You should be going an internship every single opportunity that you can. Your time is worth nothing right now. So go spend time understanding and learning and getting in the rooms. And then understanding, like, I definitely don't want to do that. Or, I didn't think about that. There's so much knowledge out there that people are willing to learn, but everyone wants to get paid to do it. I want to get paid to learn. That's not the way it works.
Yeah, well, we're in a different era right now, right? The era that we're in right now, and this is no slight to anybody, no one wants to put the work in to get to the opportunity. They expect to show up tomorrow and get the opportunity that's available tomorrow. A lot of people don't understand it. In order to get that opportunity that's available tomorrow, you had to do work last week. That's where, again, I've run into a lot of folks that are younger, and I've heard people say, I want to be where you are. And sometimes I say, well, it takes a lot of work to be where I am, and I don't look like what I've been through. A lot of people have to understand that when the opportunity comes, you have to be ready. You have to have already put in a certain amount of work in order for that opportunity to manifest itself in the proper way for you.
Mm-hmm. Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
How do you do that, though?
Just like Julia was talking about, you got to prepare. You know what you want to do. You know where you want to go. You have to sit in those rooms. You have to sit at the feet of the masters. You have to ask a whole bunch of questions. You have to be willing to.
He meant karate. He meant karate. He didn't mean color of money.
See, you going someplace, Daniel, because I was getting ready to say something. You talking about you sitting in the room and you ain't saying nothing. I thought about the spook at the door. I ain't saying nothing, though.
To your point, Emmerich, people don't want to do the work. They don't want to sit and listen and be unpaid. They don't want to spend the money, Daniel. I was looking for opportunity, and Bo was like, hey, come out to D.C. And I'm thinking like, okay, I got to fly out to D.C. I got to pay for a hotel. I got to, you know, but at the end of it, I was like, I'm either going to learn something, get an opportunity, you know, meet somebody that I should know, whatever the case might be. But there are, and this goes back to, I think, like our second episode ever, we talked about taking risks. There's risks involved in anything that involves wealth building. There will be risks. You might spend money and maybe nothing manifests of it that time, you know, or you might spend money and the investment didn't turn out to be exactly what you thought it was. But you learn from these things, but people don't want to even invest the money. Quantum Leap for young adults. It's coming up. There was a young man in our office the other day that closed on a property. He's 20-something years old, runs a business. He's an investor. I mean, he's doing the thing. And I said, you should come to this thing Gary Keller is doing. You're going to get to learn from Gary Keller, a billionaire. Then if you finish it, you get to have a business coach, you know, a 3-month business coach program, and you get to apply for a $10,000 loan. And he was like, ooh, how much does it cost? I was like, it's $500. Yeah. I'm sorry. What do you mean? Yeah. Like he didn't want to spend the $500 to potentially have a business, free business coach for 3 months and apply for a $10,000 loan for his business. And he probably would have got it. His stuff was solid. Right.
Is it a loan or a grant?
Did I call it a loan? Oh, it's not a loan. I'm sorry. It's a grant.
Yeah.
That's a grant. Exactly. I'm sorry. It's free. Exactly. It's called free money. My bad. But he didn't, he was like for him, I'm presenting an opportunity, you know, of one, being around other entrepreneurs your age that are doing other amazing things and meeting all these people around the country, learning directly from Gary Keller, who is a billionaire, getting a 3-month business coach and a grant, excuse me, I stand corrected, for $10,000. And he's like, oh, that costs $500. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know, it's crazy, Julia. I told my daughter the same thing. Wait a minute. And she didn't have to pay. And she started asking me questions. Wait, you don't have to pay for the class. You have to pay for the hotel. I'm going to book your airfare. And you're going to ask me questions. It's just the generation of the day. Nobody was paying for anything for me. And they still don't pay for anything for me. You have a no charge trip to learn from a billionaire. And
well,
you're asking me questions.
This goes back to the other podcast we had where we talked about mindset. Because I asked, I gave 3 young ladies that same opportunity and they didn't even ask me any questions on what it was. They just know me. And if I told them they should go, they were like, I didn't even finish saying what it was. I was like, hey, do you want to go to this thing in Austin? It's called Quantum. Yes. I hadn't even finished saying. But that they are thirsty for an opportunity of any sort. They're thirsty to meet somebody who can tell them something, you know. And then there's all the other people where their mindset is just not there.
I believe it, but part of it is generational.
These was young girls.
Part of it is generation. Oh, yeah. No, well, I mean, they looked up to you.
Don't talk about my generation and the generation.
No, they before you, Dan. They before. They mine is 30, Daniel. You're on the other side of 30 now. You different. But, you know.
So I'm struggling. Is it the generation or is it the generation? Is that a fair statement? Or is it we're not finding the right people within that generation?
It's the generation.
Entire generation.
Okay. What I can tell you is there are an extremely high number of people in my market center that are under 30.
Mm-hmm.
We have to convince them that there's a process to success. You don't just show up tomorrow and say, oh, well, Emmerich, I want your job. You want it? When do you want it? I want it tomorrow.
Well, is that the generation or is it that the agent that got licensed over the last few years? Because I have people that have that same mindset that are in their 40s.
I'm not talking about one or two.
I think you're right. I think COVID did it. I think it was a COVID thing. People got lazy. They start wanting instant gratification. They start having these crazy expectations that everybody owes them something.
Everything in their life under 30 has been an immediate response. And I'm not saying anything negative. It's not that it's negative. It's just the consequences of who we have become. Everything that comes to them is immediately at their disposal. The internet gives them access to an abundance of information, which leads them to believe that they're really smarter than they are sometimes, because you can see it on a video. That may not be the way it really works in reality. And so in that place of when we're talking about opportunity, I believe that a lot of times in that place, they have to understand that opportunity comes with work. Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you're under 30, no, there is no stop. Hope.
No, no, absolutely not. No, Joe, yo, let me tell you, I got them jokers all around me. I absolutely love them. You know, I love them because they will challenge your thought process. They will challenge you at every turn, and it forces you to investigate your reality, because your reality may not be what's real in today's world.
Well, it's back our last episode about the back to the fundamentals and basics.
Yes.
I think because things have come so quick, I think that's the expectation with a lot of agents in general, is I just got licensed and I should be selling a house already. Not like when y'all got licensed, where it was maybe 6 months, 5 months, 3 months before you even had an inkling of success and you were committed to the longevity of the industry. I think it's a commitment issue.
Okay.
More than a work ethic with you, because I've seen the young people that commit to something.
Right.
They're relentless workers, but the commitment seems to be the thing that's floundering right now.
I was going to use a different word. It's interesting you said commitment. I was going to say, I think it's consistency in preparing for opportunities in general. Mm-hmm. It's just being inconsistent, and the desire to want more, the desire to strive for something, the desire to evolve, the desire for constant self-development, to refine yourself, to put yourself in position. It's consistency. And I think without commitment and consistency, I don't know that you'll be prepared for any opportunity.
What's the difference in commitment and consistency? Consistency requires a commitment to do what you're going to do every day. Yeah. I don't think there's really a difference. You can't be committed to the activities, right? You can't be consistent with the activities without being committed to the activities.
Let me wrap this up. Let me just ask this in one question. What would you all say? I'll start with Daniel. Daniel, what would be the one thing you would tell people to do to prepare for any opportunity? You had your checklist, which was a little different than my checklist. But what would you say would be the thing that you would tell people to do to be prepared for any opportunity, be it an investment, a business, a relationship, anything?
I think there's two steps, actually. So I think the first thing is meditation, and the second thing is journaling. I think you need to allow yourself the ability to get deep into thought and think about and dream about what this is that you want to become. What does your next 5 years look like? And dream that out. Once the crazy part about putting pen to paper is once you put pen to paper, it just kind of flows. And you may go on tangents and it may get super long, but by being able to get those thoughts out and really identifying who you want to become, what you want your world to look like, it allows you to then say, okay, now I can start living what I need to become, or what rooms do I need to be in? That's what I see often with a lot of people too, is like, well, I don't know where to go or what to do, but you have no idea what you want to become. So it's different on what rooms or what trainings you should be paying attention to in general. So I think meditation and journaling.
And I heard you say, write the vision, make it plain, which was my first step, was decide what you want. You need to know what you even want in life to be able to say yes or no to an opportunity. Even just today, I was on a meeting with somebody based on relationships. They were having a meeting about a particular opportunity, and somebody said, hey, can I bring Julia? And they said, oh, for sure. And we were sitting there about this investment opportunity that I could either say yes or no to. Now, part of that preparation would be me having learned things in advance, but also knowing if this is an opportunity for me. Is this in alignment with what I see for my next 5 years, my next 10 years? Or is it going to be noisy, right? Is it going to be more time and energy than I actually want to put into it? But I think that starts with knowing what you want. What is your vision for yourself and your life? Emmerich, what would you say is the one thing to be prepared?
I concur with both of you. So I'm only going to do one thing. In addition to what you guys said.
I'm glad,
because
I only asked for one thing.
Okay. No, because I was going to say something that at least something. Get your money right. Yeah. Get your money right. Because no matter what the opportunity is, it probably is going to require some resources from you. And so if you don't have your resources in the proper place, it's never an opportunity. It's only a conversation. And as I said, resources, because it may not, I said money, but I'm changing money to resources. Get your resources right, because sometimes it doesn't require money. It requires resources. If you don't have the right resources to take advantage of the opportunity, it is only a conversation.
Well, there we have it, friends. You have tuned in to yet another wonderful episode of the Color of Money podcast with my boys, my co-hosts, Daniel Dixon and Emmerick Peace. Also, by the way, don't forget you can see us now. We're on YouTube. We're on
absolutely.
YouTube now.
Yes,
so feel
absolutely.
Free to tune in on YouTube for the next episode or check us out on thecolorofmoneypodcast.com. Bye, y'all. Bye. Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.